Can't tell what's more tragic, the fact that the only store in town is closing, or that they've decided to display the fungal cream beside the cereal boxes.
That's actually really convenient, because I forgot to have breakfast, and I'm running low on fungal cream.
I don't want to hear you say fungal again.
Fungal?
Fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Shits Creek podcast where every other week we watch a different episode of the series and then we discuss that episode, and we're going through the series in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me as always is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Ready to go back to school.
Oh, okay, good.
Actually, I'm really ready for school day. To end for summer break, but...
I had a feeling that you weren't sincere when you said
that. If I was Alexis, I'd be ready to go back to school.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm ready to go to the general store for the last time.
Yeah.
As the general store. I mean,
yeah.
The space continues through the series.
Of course.
But it's no longer
the
general store. And that's the episode that we're talking about. General Store.
Yes.
It is the seventh episode of season three. The original air date is February 21st of 2017. So this is an episode that was directed by Paul Fox.
Mm, we know that name.
Oh, we know that name very much. He will direct three more episodes of this season before he is done with the series.
Oh, okay.
So we're on seven. So does that mean there's five more episodes? He directs three of them. And then his time on the series will be over. And this is written by Dan Levy.
Oh, always so, love a good Dan Levy written episode.
Right. I mean, I think there's a couple every season. He tends to be, maybe not for the first season, but I think the second season, right? Doesn't he write like the first episode of the season and sometimes the last episode?
Yeah, that's all, like oftentimes that. I think that's what we've discovered, that he usually does first and last.
Yeah, and I guess he sprinkles himself in then throughout the series.
Yeah,
every now and then. So let's sort of get into it. Let's talk about it, because we are opening outside of school.
Yes. Yeah, they're in the family car. The whole family goes together. It's like she's off to kindergarten. Like, everybody's going.
It's a big deal, I guess.
Ready to drop her off for her first day back to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So she needs to, and I know we tend to get in the weeds on how any of this has to do with reality. And...
Okay.
Well,
I know what you mean, but yeah.
And I think there's a lot that we have found out that we don't understand. I mean, last episode, we didn't understand why they needed your high school diploma, like the physical piece of paper, and that stuff wasn't in some sort of database that they could access.
Yeah.
We totally don't understand how the DMV works.
No. And no one really helped us with that, I don't think.
I don't think anyone chimed in.
Yeah.
Apparently, so no
either
one...
they don't know either, or they just... were annoyed and turned us off.
Well,
it could be that too.
I like to think that people understand that we're maybe not that smart, and they're like, you know what? I'm not gonna put in the effort here.
No. Oh, okay.
They'll either figure it out or they won't. And next episode they'll be on to something else.
Right.
But I do have a question about, I guess, finishing high school when you haven't finished high school.
I think you just go and get like your GED. And you would go and take classes with other adults that haven't finished their...
Okay, right.
Yeah,
okay.
So like, I don't think they just say, like, come on back and...
So you don't... And you don't show up halfway through the school year or three-quarters of the way through the school year.
I would think that you have to complete, I don't know, so many... I don't know if it would go by credits or so many classes.
Right.
Or really, I guess if you're working toward a GED,
mm-hmm.
then I'm sure there's... a class or classes, I don't know how many, that are specifically designed to train you to take that test and go over things that you might need to know in a variety of subject areas. Okay. And then you take the test, and if you pass, you get your GED. Like, I don't think it would... Yeah, I don't think that, I don't think any high schools are just opening their doors to, like, you know, 27-year-olds and saying, come on in for half a year and we'll call it even.
Not even if you're good friends with the teacher or your parents are good friends with the teacher. And maybe all you need is that one
credit or, yeah. But you can't even, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
regardless. It's fun. It makes for a good story.
No, it does. Right. I mean, is it as unrealistic as Billy Madison going through, what, every single grade
that's just 2 weeks?
All right. Okay.
That's a terrible movie.
Less terrible than Billy Madison. I think my 20-year-old self would disagree with you that it's terrible. But luckily, I haven't seen it.
But would
it
your current self disagree? Because it know. Probably wouldn't.
Thankfully, I haven't seen it since I was 20.
I don't really know that I have either, but I think I remember watching it when I was 20 thinking, this is really stupid, and he's kind of irritating.
Wow, you had that forethought that Adam Sandler was that irritating when you were that young. That's
he and
good.
Jim Carrey kind of annoyed me right from the get-go.
Wow, so not an Ace Ventura
detective
fan either.
No, okay. No. Yeah, no, they both sort of bothered me.
That's pretty, I don't know. That's interesting that you...
Was I on to something at an early age?
You were definitely on to something.
Is that what you're implying?
No, because beyond, I'm going to say, the year 2000, there's no way I could watch anything with Adam Sandler and think it was worthwhile.
Maybe
Uncut Gems, but that's...
I don't even know what that is.
That's okay. Don't worry
about it. Because I saw Billy Madison, and that pretty much ended my Adam Sandler experience.
Sorry, Adam Sandler.
But anyway.
You were fine as opera man on Saturday
Night Live.
Away
from Billy Madison. Okay. Back to Alexis.
Right. So everyone...
She's so cute because she's nervous to go to school. She's just like...
Sure.
You know, like, it is just like a first day of school for everybody. She's, you know, like, for anyone. Like, you're nervous to go in.
I think she's nervous, sort of excited. I mean, her family's not helping the matter whatsoever.
I got definitely more of, like, a nervous feeling. Not, like, a lot of an excited feeling. I think she was, you know, to me, I thought definitely more nervous. But yeah, they were super cool. They were and cute. They were like giving her advice about bullying.
Right. You know. Well, before that, David said, don't trust anyone who wants to be your friend on the first day.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's not terrible advice, I guess.
Yeah.
Might be good advice if you're going to prison, too.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know.
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, yes. And then they talk about how David was bullied and he says that he wasn't.
Moira said he was blissfully unaware.
Right.
But yeah, so this kind of goes back and forth. And yeah, they're not helping her at all. They're not giving her any, like, real words of encouragement or wisdom.
I would have liked to have seen the conversation before they all got in the car. Because, you know, David probably didn't want to go. Like, they all have to drive her to school.
Well,
like,
I'm
that's
sure
kind
it was
the
on the way to
this.
The, you know, cafe or
on the
something.
Way to the cafe
like, they were
to
all
the general
on their way.
Store. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and I love how says as she's getting out of the car, I think you're brave. To which, of course, you know, they're like, I think he's being sarcastic. And Moira said that it's just his defense mechanism from all the bullying, the sarcasm.
Of course.
Yeah. But it was a really fun little opening scene to get this episode started.
So now, after, you know, title roles. Mm-hmm. We go to said general store.
Yes.
We're in the store. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of how many times we've been in the store. We were certainly in the store to buy wine.
Yeah. Toilet paper.
I think the toilet paper, that was a different time, right?
Yeah, because that was when Jocelyn had, I think that was also when, was that when Jocelyn asked if he would mentor a troubled youth?
You're
right.
Yeah.
So that all happened in the same episode.
In here a handful of times, and it really is I grew up in a relatively small town that had the Revere General Store, and it really is just like this.
Listen to you with a shout-out to the Revere Store.
I think it's still around.
I don't know.
I don't know. But it really was like this, where you could get
wine and toilet paper?
Yeah, not every... Well, they had a separate liquor store upstairs.
Right.
Where you could get sandwiches. Wine and toilet paper. You could get sandwiches and beer and play video games. If you wanted to. But
that
down at the bottom.
Amazing.
Down at the bottom.
All within biking distance as a child.
Yeah. As a kid, it was really
great. Get
your
wine, toilet paper, cigarettes, and play video games.
Yes. And that's why I love the idea how it's the only store in town and it went under. Like, it's really the only place.
Everybody, I guess, is traveling to Elmdale.
I guess. But if you just want your cigarettes and beer and...
Yeah.
Hostess fruit pies. Like, I figured that's where you would go.
I would guess so. So, yeah, it is interesting that it's having, like, a going on a business sale. But, you know, David's kind of bashing the whole plan of this general store.
Sure.
You know, but
Steve is there with him.
Right, right. And he kind of said, like, this store in the right hands could be lucrative. Because there isn't a lot in the town. So he's thinking, you know, like, if this was managed correctly... It would not be, you know, experiencing an out-of-business sale.
Exactly. They do very briefly make conversation with the store clerk.
Mm-hmm.
The store
Tell
clerk
us all about her.
Is played by Gina Cash Deenan.
Oh.
Deneen. I'm going to say Deneen.
I don't know.
It's got two E's.
Okay.
Yeah. She is credited as store clerk. Like I said, not much on IMDb. Before, meaning nothing before, and after this, she appeared in two episodes of Kim's Convenience.
Okay.
So that's her entire IMDb, you know, maybe she is
a store clerk in that.
Stage performer. A store clerk, it is about a convenience store, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know.
We don't know. We've talked about how it's always recommending we watch it on Netflix.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe people should let us know if it's worth a watch.
A lot of people do seem to like it. I feel like it would get a lot of... the only thing I've ever seen is just that little, like, teaser
clip
of
where
it.
It's annoying.
And the preview clip is not enough to draw me in. But I have to say, all of the commercials I saw for Schitt's Creek, when I would see them on...
it looked horrible.
The channel would not come to me at all.
Yeah.
I was just like, that show, I don't get it. That this does not look good. So,
no, we've talked about it before. And I remember listening to, I think it was Howard Stern talking about how great it was. And he said the same thing. He said, I didn't watch it for the longest time because the advertisements looked so terrible.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they were doing over there at Popper, who was in charge of this at the time, but it really did look awful.
But now that I think about it, the one that I remember seeing most often, because I used to watch Pop a lot.
90210,
go-to station.
Sure.
Is when they were looking for David. And Alexis, like Johnny was saying, Alexis, we found your brother. And she's like, but I'm just so tired from walking. And now, like, once you know the context of that episode, it's hysterical. But I just remember seeing that over and over again. And I was like, what is this?
It's really weird in that the advertising is effective for people that are already watching it. But that's not how advertising should work.
Yeah. And I remember also the episode when... you know, like when he and Jake had like gotten together and hooked up like in the motel room and Jake came out in the towel. Like I remember that being, you know, on a commercial as well when they were advertising for it.
Oh, I don't remember the specifics.
Yeah. Well,
of these
again,
ads.
Like I said, I watched the station and
but
yeah. So anyway, we're not doing great here with staying on task. Sorry, folks.
That's all right.
But yeah, so back to our cute little store clerk, Kim's Convenience. Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah.
And we should watch it.
And this is really about Stevie basically sort of nudging David in the direction to do something about this.
Well, and it's sort of like, I feel like she's reciprocating to him because he kind of nudged her and
supported her
with the whole motel thing and like, you can do this. And, you know, Johnny kind of stepped in too. And now I feel like she's sort of saying like, well, do something about it. Like, now's your chance.
Mm-hmm. I like to think that Stevie's just like, oh no, if he doesn't find something to do, he's going to be
gonna
in this motel. He's
going
to be bothering me. I'm going to have to give him a job. He can't do anything.
Yeah.
So she sees this as her out, I guess.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that's sort of where that scene ends with him seeing potential with this space.
Mm-hmm.
So now...
We're back at Schitt's Creek High School. I'm going to call it that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
SCHS, sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the classroom. Let's talk about, you know, again, I don't want to harp too much on the fact that she's a high school teacher and Alexis needs, I guess, a few credits of English. So you would assume she would probably take senior level classes, but these kids look so young still.
I do think, though, they look older than her previous group that we saw when they were doing the drug awareness play. Yes. So I do think that they look older.
Yeah, I do too, especially the two girls that we kind of spend some time with, or at least, you know, they have some lines.
Like, those kids look like middle schoolers, and I do feel like now it does. And this could be a situation, and maybe we even talked about this before, where it's like you went to a high school that, or middle school, high school, what, I don't know what they called it, but you were basically
it was
like,
just a high school.
But it started at what grade initially?
Oh, seven.
Seventh.
Yeah,
so it was seven through 12. Because it
again,
was a small,
folks, we had a general
but it was a
store
small, right?
Downtown.
You lived in Schitt's Creek, I think, almost.
It's pretty close.
Again, so maybe that is what there's not enough kids to have a full out separate middle school and high school. So Jocelyn very well could teach classes of middle schoolers and classes of high schoolers, and we may have just solved our whole entire questioning about the school situation and the age level that she taught.
You're right. Okay. No, that's great. Yeah.
Because maybe it literally is a combined almost middle school and high school.
Right.
So it would that
and
would
the kids that look younger in the class could just be the dumb students.
Or it could just be like she teaches a class of 8th grade English and a class of 11th grade English.
No, what I'm saying from personal experience is when I was a senior in high school,
I didn't really think that anybody looked...
I was in math class with a bunch of 10th graders.
Well, yeah. But so, I didn't notice anybody looking dramatically out of place that it looked like...
Shift.
Yeah, maybe you did, but I didn't. But yeah, so she goes in to this, you know, little classroom and everything, and Jocelyn's there, and she introduces Alexis, and Alexis...
That should be the end of it.
Oh, totally.
Here's a new student. Her name's Alexis. She may look
a little bit older
and wear floppy hats,
right,
but let's just move on with our studies.
But Alexis needed to get up and say a few words.
She certainly did.
Yes. She explains to everyone that she didn't finish high school. She's very forward with that.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that it's good that she said that. It's pretty obvious that she didn't finish high school, but I like the fact that she kind of answered everybody's questions.
Right, because if you were in high school, you'd be like, who is this girl and why is she here? She looks way old.
Who is this weird 21 Jump Street narc that's in our class now?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But of course, you know, so she has a little conversation and everything, and then she immediately notices two girls right away start whispering, looking at her, whispering. And immediately, like, you can just see how her self, you know, how self-conscious she feels, and she's aware of it.
She's sort of thrown off of her, whatever her prepared speech was.
Right.
I think she's
and like her,
a little bit.
It's, you know, like, watching that, it's like she always seems so confident and so self-assured.
Yep.
And then all it takes is two high school age girls whispering to kind of totally throw her confidence for a loop.
She was one of those high school age girls. She was probably that exact.
Totally. I'm pretty sure she was
whispering about whatever old nerd showed up in class and stood up there and started talking.
Yeah.
So, should we go to the cafe?
We should.
Let's go to the cafe now.
Let's go to the cafe, have some muffins with Ivan.
Let's see Ivan again. I kind of forgot that Ivan was back.
In the series.
Like, I mean, I remember the moment he showed up and then I remembered, cinnamon buns and so on and so forth. But I kind of totally forgot that he made another appearance.
He was the bagel baker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So he is there to drop off some muffins
at
the cafe. And Johnny sees an opportunity to provide a continental breakfast
at the motel for all the many motel guests that they don't really have.
At the end of this, when they're eating those, I'm like, who are they taking them away from? Because I don't know that anybody's here.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't really get a real strong feeling about that. Right. Maybe they have a couple guests starting to roll in now.
Right.
But, yeah, so he's super excited. He learns that Ivan bakes for Twyla. But he's kind of thinking, like, this will bring in some new customers and new people at the motel.
Ivan doesn't exactly know what a continental breakfast is. Bless you.
Thanks.
And I thought it was just a language issue, but that's just a running joke through the episode that nobody seems to understand what a continental breakfast is.
Yeah, isn't it? I mean, well, we can talk about it later when they have a whole conversation about what everybody thinks it is.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, I think, I mean, isn't it just, like, a lot of times if you go down in a, if you're staying in a hotel and they don't have, like, a full-out restaurant, it's, like,
right. Yeah, I mean, I know what it is, but I don't know, and I think this is the confusion later, why it's called what it's called.
Oh, gotcha.
Because Johnny's saying something like, oh, it's just from people all over the continent coming together, or the food is from across the entire continent. So I don't even know what the term means.
Yeah. But he feels like it might get an extra star.
Right. Yes.
And there's 0-star review. Right. Yes. Yeah, it would finally give them 1 star.
It's so sad that they have 0 stars.
Yeah, but, like, no one stayed there. So who, you know, nobody would review it. Nobody would, like, they didn't have any business at all. So how can you have any stars if you don't have any business? I mean, but at one point in time, don't you think they had to have had business? Right?
Yeah, if you don't have any business, you have to close, like the convenience store.
Yeah.
General store, sorry.
But maybe just people aren't passing through the town as much.
They build a highway. People are just going right by, like, is that cars?
Yeah. Right? I think so. Okay. All right. Oh, they were really sad, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I like that I lived in Schitt's Creek, and it's possible that sentient cars also lived in Schitt's Creek. So, do you think, I mean, Johnny's reaction when he's eating these baked goods that Ivan makes, do you think in a strange way he kind of regrets not
doing
the going to business? Like, I mean, he doesn't say it or allude
to anything.
It's one
like
of those
that.
Things where he seems so surprised how good all of this stuff is.
I don't know. I don't think Johnny could have lived in a world with Ivan and Bob.
Oh, no, no. That would have, no.
So, yeah, I don't know that he would feel a lot of regret about that.
No, right.
That would have been rough, I think.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So let's go to town council.
Yeah, it's Christmas World!
Oh, Christmas World.
It's coming!
The talk of the town.
Christmas World sounds like an amazing place. I think there is a store called Christmas Tree Shops. I don't know if they exclusive. I guess they kind of sell Christmas stuff, but I don't know. There used to be one at this little outlet center that we would go to, and it didn't seem like it was only Christmas stuff, which always was confusing to me.
Oh.
I don't know. But there is a store called the Christmas Tree Shops.
It sounds... It's not my... I'm in Ronnie's corner with this.
Yeah.
I would
it's
not
very,
enjoy this.
Like, I don't know why you would need to go there at other points in the year. Like, I could see going to get your Christmas needs
met. Well,
there's
that store at the beach that just sells Christmas ornaments. Does that place still exist?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I do go in there every year at the beach, so okay.
Right.
I take that back.
But if it was near you, you'd probably never
Right.
Go
I feel like
there,
we go because you know? it's like a fun place to wander around it. And they do have, like, a crazy variety of things. Right. So I guess maybe Christmas World would have a really interesting variety of things. But I feel like if it was in your town, you probably wouldn't go there unless you
the variety of
had a need for something
things
Christmassy.
Is one thing, but the all-you-can-drink Nog fountain that they have.
Oh, I missed that.
That's maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah. But anyway, and it's going to take over the general store, which is not a big space.
That's a very
as we
small
see
space.
Later, based
right.
on,
well,
well
as
unless.
We've already kind of seen.
Right, right. I feel like you get a more of a sense of the size once, you know, down the line, once it has been transformed into its new business.
But if it is
but
just a store
it's
that
crazy
sells
small.
Christmas tree ornaments, you
but
don't
they
need
sell Christmas
a whole
trees.
Lot of.
Silver trees,
oh, yes,
which
silver
we see
trees,
later.
You're right.
So it has, I mean,
Yeah.
It seems like it's a huge corporation. Like, it would be like a Walmart-sized store or something. Like, enormous.
Yeah.
A store that's a world seems like it should be huge.
Maybe it's one of those stores that exists that's just there, like, almost as a billboard so that you would then go online and buy your stuff.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say it's only there, like, seasonally, like the Halloween stores, like, when they pop up.
No, because I once had a student and she worked at L.L. Bean, and I went in there once looking for something, I don't know, and the place was just empty. And I remember talking to her about it, and I was like, this place, like, nobody seems to go there. And she's like, no. She's like, it's basically just a landmark that gets people to remember that it exists so they go online and they buy their stuff there.
I've been in L.L. Bean's and they've had a lot of stuff.
No, they have a lot of stuff.
Not certainly not a lot as of much
people,
as... Oh. Nobody, I thought you meant...
No, not
when you
nothing
said it was,
empty,
I thought you meant it was like a huge empty space.
There was
with
really,
like a canoe.
No, there was just a handful of people walking around this cavernous store filled with, like you said, canoes and things like that.
But, well, anyway... Everybody's super excited. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. Okay.
It's split down the middle. Right. The men are very excited.
Bob is only excited because Gwen is excited.
Gwen told him not to come home.
Unless he got Christmas World. Gwen is just so mean. Bob is so nice.
Yeah.
And Gwen is really not nice to Bob.
I mean, we're getting all of
this second. I think she's doing as much as she can to push Bob away.
We're getting all of this secondhand. We're getting all of this from Bob's point of view. The only thing we see of Gwen is... background in the Jazzy Gals.
We see her in a picture.
No, I mean, it's not... Listen, we don't get Gwen to sit down and tell her side of this story.
That's true. Okay.
So we got to take Bob's word for it.
Okay.
And I do.
So maybe, yeah. All right.
But yeah. I love how she calls the moment after it's kind of... not decided, but she's very excited.
Yes.
And has to call him to... I guess if it went through.
They kind of have a whole conversation about it. As you mentioned, Ronnie's view is not favorable.
Right.
She said she went in there once. She couldn't find any ornaments. They had no ornaments that were what she wanted. And she was pretty sure that the little elves that worked there were actually underage kids.
Exactly.
Which I thought was pretty cute. But they're concerned that it's going to move and set up in Elmdale if it can't use their general store location.
Yeah. I never really thought about the problem with having an even-numbered members of town council until this moment where I was like, well, they should have somebody that would break a tie. There should be five members
of
town council.
No, that totally makes sense. Any kind of thing like that should have five, It took us this long,
but you would imagine stuff like this probably happens all the time.
Yeah, but I guess any other time we've seen them make a decision, it seems like they've kind of had to talk everybody, when they were worried about, children, like running the town
wandering the streets.
I couldn't think.
Children in charge of everything.
No, not running the town.
I
like
know what
running,
you're saying.
Like hanging out. So Moira and Ronnie said they will not be voting for it.
Right.
And then I believe it was Roland that said, if you're not voting for this, you're going to be on the naughty list. I think
yes.
he told them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we head back to the cafe. And this is when Johnny and Ivan, Ivan sits down with Johnny. He doesn't want him to, but he does.
Yes.
And he sort of talks about, that he's really into Twyla. This bothers you?
It does bother me.
Okay.
I don't, and I have seen a lot of people, if there's ever conversation about Ivan and Twyla, everybody's like, oh my gosh, I wish they would just get together.
Oh, no.
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 Twyla is so sweet. Ivan, he's playing the role he's supposed to play. He's super awkward. He's super, he can't make any kind of connection with her. And I just am like, Twyla just deserves, and I shouldn't judge Ivan, but I just feel like he is not the one for her.
No, I mean, I don't.
He seems old.
He does certainly
considerably older than her.
He's not her age contemporary.
And yeah, she needs somebody like a Ted, super sweet,
ready
to just shower her with love and attention, and I don't get that vibe from Ivan.
No, I just feel it's interesting that a lot of people are.
I've heard people
into
kind of
this.
Rooting for that relationship to happen, and it's not my not my journey for her.
Yeah, it just seems like a weird little one off for this episode, how can we get Ivan more to do, or how can we get basically Johnny to get cinnamon buns for free. Like, yeah. How do we do this? We know he doesn't have money, so how do we figure this out? And mm-hmm. I really didn't think much about this relationship at all because it's not a relationship.
Right. Yeah. I think he's, but then I was like, well, if he would ask her out, I don't know. Like, would she say yes because she's Twyla and she's just so sweet? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think we really have to worry about it.
But yeah, but they, you know, they like you said, he requests the cinnamon buns and maybe, you know, well, he could get a special price because he knows Twyla and everything. Right. And then that's when Ivan kind of admits, you know, he really likes her and he can't talk to her. And he wants Johnny to talk to Twyla.
They're not at the cafe, are they? Are they at Ivan's baking area?
I believe he went to his, his home, I guess. Does he bake out of his home?
He must.
Yeah. I guess he does.
Johnny wants to see where all of this happens.
Yes.
And this is where they, and he wants, like, I remember watching this for the first time, and it's weird that he wants Johnny to talk to Twyla for him.
Like, he's so shy, though, which is sweet.
No. I was just afraid this was going like a Cyrano de Bergerac route, and he'd be like, well, here, you wear this earpiece, and I'll feed you lines. And I was But it's just weird that even Ivan doesn't suggest that. Like, but Ivan doesn't even say, like, talk me up to her. He's like, you know how to talk to Twyla, so what does Ivan think is going
to
happen?
I guess he just feels like he could kind of say to Twyla, like, hey, what do you think about Ivan? He's really nice, right? Okay. Like, he's great.
So it's just a little confusing.
But I guess, I don't know, I felt like it was sort of implied. I didn't think he was talking to him like, you can feed me lines or I'll listen in or anything. Okay. I think it was just implied, like, can you just kind of talk to her and maybe, like, feel her out about...
Yeah.
You know, her feelings about me.
I do like how Johnny shoots this down, though, pretty much immediately. It doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, no, you should talk to her yourself.
Well, and that's sound advice.
Yes.
He should talk to her. He's a grown man who's looked way old for Twyla.
Yes.
So, yeah, it should be on him to talk to her.
Yes.
Then we get back to the motel. A little David Moira moment.
Yeah, we haven't really seen much of Moira yet, so... Mm-hmm.
And can I say,
we're a half hour into our conversation. We're about 5 minutes into the episode.
I know. We're really like chatting a lot about this one. Can I say in this scene, Moira looked, I loved her. She had like just a black dress on, but she had a great necklace. Like she just looked, I don't know, something about her style in this scene I really liked.
Notice.
I know her style is always amazing.
Sure.
But yeah, like just something about this. I was like, oh, she looks really good. I just liked her. You know, her outfit and everything in this. But yeah, she kind of is saying to David, like, you really need to get something to do. Have something to do with your life. Like, do you have a plan? Are you going to go back to work? You know.
I mean, he tells her everything that he's thinking.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to apply for a lease.
Right, he got the lease, start his own business.
He's going to apply for the lease.
Yes.
He hasn't done anything yet.
Right.
And she laughs. Her response is to laugh at first.
Well, she says before the space telling is him cursed.
It's cursed.
Right. And she was like, well, who's going to join this venture with you? And he said, it's just me, you know, just on my own. And you can tell we don't really get a lot of insight as to why, but she is immediately concerned.
Oh,
about
of course.
This. Alarmed.
Yeah, definitely.
You can tell just by the way the conversation's going that this is raising red flags to her.
Yes.
But we don't get to find out right then and there because we go back to town council.
Yeah, this is where Gwen calls.
Yes.
This is where Bob talks about how he's not allowed to go home, mm-hmm. all of that great stuff. And this is where we see the silver tree that only serial killers and grown men
single,
over 40.
Yeah, single men over 40. Yeah, they were the only people
house.
That would have a silver tree. I'm pretty sure that when my parents, like... Early on, like when they got married, mm-hmm. I think they had a silver tree.
Yeah, but you're
just for like
talking,
a year.
What?
But that would have been like
late
in the 70s.
'60s, early 70s.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Would have been like late 60s.
Right, and that's perfectly acceptable.
But yeah, but I am pretty sure I remember seeing a picture with like a silver tree.
Right, or
yeah,
I am gonna say if you are weirdly super wealthy, so maybe you have multiple trees in your house to match the decor of the rooms. Like, if you have a certain room,
yeah, they didn't have that silver. But sure.
No, I'm saying that's the only reason you should have one now.
Right. Yeah,
because that's crazy. You shouldn't. No, because and I think around that same time that your parents had the silver tree, like
I'm sure that
people
was
had
in.
Blue trees,
right?
Like I've seen pictures of that nonsense,
and bubble lights, and all that. Fun
right?
Stuff.
Yes, exactly. So it's fine at that time, but I think Ronnie's right. You shouldn't have that now.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But someone. Moira has changed her tune.
Yeah.
I like how Moira just, I guess, went home for lunch, like town council dismissed
broke
for
lunch.
And she's.
But they like, were, I got the impression back. They were at the motel at night. I wrote down motel at night. So it must have been. So this must be the next day.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. And I didn't pay attention to like clothing or anything like that. But right. I believe this is the next day. I don't, according to my notes anyway, that would be my guess. So I don't think they broke for lunch and she had to go back.
Okay.
But yeah, we suddenly see she's kind of done this shift before she was siding with Ronnie and was not into Christmas World. But now we see that she's leaning more towards Roland and Bob on the whole Christmas World idea.
Yes. Ronnie seems a bit skeptical of this and well, I guess Ronnie knows that she's sort of lost anyway.
Right.
So
yeah.
There you go, three against one.
Yeah.
So everyone's mind seems made up there, but let's go back to school.
Oh, yes.
Because now...
We're talking about Marie Antoinette.
Yeah. It is funny because Alexis does correct Jocelyn, mm-hmm. because Jocelyn talks about let them eat cake, blah, blah, blah. And she's right in her correction.
Uh-huh. Well, she learned about it from Kirsten Dunst.
Yep. She tells a few Dunst stories.
Yes. And she also... mentions that she dated Prince Harry, which is why she was called Maria, I think, right? Isn't that what she said?
No, I don't remember that.
I think that's what
great.
She said.
Okay.
This episode moved fast. This was a note-taking episode. There was so much packed in.
Yeah, there's a lot happening here.
Yeah, and there are discussions and dialogue and everything. Right. Yeah. But yeah, so she does raise her hand. She kind of shares her insights into the whole world of Marie Antoinette.
Yep.
And once again, the whispery girls... are whispering, and this time Alexis sees them like legit pass a note
passing
to each other.
Passing notes in class.
And then Jocelyn says, asks the girls about it and addresses it and says that she needs to see them after class.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun.
Tune in next week.
Right.
All right. So now we're back at the motel, and David confronts Moira
about
this.
Yeah, he found
out finds
about her vote.
That she votes for Christmas Town.
Mm-hmm. Christmas World.
Sorry,
remember,
Christmas
it's a world.
World. It's an entire world of Christmas, I assume, divided up into countries and how they celebrate the holiday.
Yeah.
So, Moira,
this
they kind of have a heart,
is
and
like,
heart to heart.
This is like heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is. It's, it, I
this,
mean.
Not this episode, but this scene is.
Right, yes. Because, I mean, this is basically where it comes out that all of his previous business ventures, which has been art galleries,
right,
were all backed by his parents.
Yeah.
Or backed by his patrons who were bought by his parents.
Yeah, like Moira said, like, I voted for it. I was just protecting you from yourself. You're not prepared for this.
Right.
And that's when he was saying, he's like, I've run businesses before. Like, and she said, never on your own.
Right.
Not
exactly.
Without a safety net.
Yeah.
And that's when it comes out that they had, bought the patrons and basically had, like, in a secretive way, supported and kept him afloat.
Yeah. And this
and,
is
like,
also...
just the look on his feet and how he's like, my entire professional career is a sham.
Sure.
Like, I'll never find out if I could have succeeded on my own.
Yeah.
And, like, it just, I don't know, it just breaks my heart for him.
Yeah.
That, like, all that time, as much as David has such a... He second guesses everything, and he's nervous about things, and he's not confident about himself.
No, and the amount
in
of
so many
time,
ways, and now this is like another blow to his.
And you could just imagine the
confidence.
Amount of times that he was very nervous about these gallery openings and stuff, and will things sell, and all that. Now I will say,
it's
and
like
not
a
that,
false sense of
not that anyone deserves this, and I would never say that David deserves this, but this is the same thing that he just accused Alexis of a few episodes ago when they were in the car. And he said she's had everything handed to her and he had to work for everything he has. Like, it's this crazy harsh realization that he and Alexis are way more similar than he even thought.
It's just, but it's so funny though, like, just because their personalities are so different, like, it's heartbreaking to, hear that David was, you know, and, like, Alexis, it would just be like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, she was fine with it. And I don't think she would have been, upset. You know what I mean? She would have been like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like,
Right, exactly.
You know, whereas, for him, it's, like, a total blow.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah.
I do like the line where she says, I'd say you'd understand someday, but you don't like children, so probably not. Also, he's wearing like a scary dog sweater. Did you notice this?
I didn't.
It's like a scary attacking, like the whole sweater's black, but you see dog eyes but and that's like
super
open jaws.
Yeah, but that's appropriate. That's kind of like
But
it's like an attack on his.
Yeah,
do think they do so much with that. There's always those things that symbolism.
This is one of the weirdest, not weirdest sweaters, because the design isn't weird, but it doesn't look like anything else he's ever worn before.
Yeah. Every once in a while they throw in something that is uncharacteristic.
It's just
David.
Something I didn't notice before.
Yeah, no. So. And we should be better paying attention to those little things, because they do put so much of that in.
I do like how this scene is punctuated with a bit of a joke, because he does try and slam the door, but of course, the door isn't latched, so it bounces open and he has to try and slam it again. So let's talk about these girls, because...
Wait, there's a Johnny and Ivan at the cafe moment where he makes the joke to try to impress Twyla.
Ivan shows
up with the cinnamon rolls.
I researched these girls. I didn't put their credits in the right
spot.
And
he leaves and he gives the muffins to Twyla, but still is like super awkward about talking to her. And then they order. So it's like they're getting breakfast. And Johnny orders waffles. Ivan orders eggs and he tells a joke. And he says, you know, the punchline is like, he says, bon appetit.
Right.
And Twyla's just like looking at him and like kind of smiling, but doesn't really get it because of Ivan's mispronunciation.
No, it's bone, because it's a dog. What is a dog? So it's bone.
Right,
appetite.
But he doesn't
say
it right.
Okay,
he says bun.
Sorry.
Right. You didn't have to explain the joke to me. I got it.
Okay.
All right, Johnny. You were Johnny for a minute, and I was Twyla. But, yeah.
I was looking at my notes. I missed the first part of what you were saying.
Wow.
And I just heard you say the joke is bon appetit.
That and is a result of his misspeaking. Twyla's completely confused. And then Johnny has to explain. I think he meant bon appetit because it's a dog. And then that is sort of where that whole scene ends. And again, I think that solidifies why, like, Ivan and Twyla are just not going to make a love connection.
No.
And they shouldn't.
No, not at all.
Ivan seems very nice, but I don't think he's the right fit for Twyla.
No.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we can go to the girls at school.
There we go. Okay. And basically, Alexis takes the rap for the girls' passing.
Yeah, like right away when class is over. Yeah, she kind of gets up and goes over to them, you know, and kind of wants to, before Jocelyn can kind of get to them.
Exactly.
To have
she wants to see what the deal is.
Yeah, she's like, I think we started off on the wrong foot. Like, I'm super intimidating to you. I'm like, that is not going to get it on the right foot until you find out what was in their notes. Mm-hmm.
Because she does. She grabs the note. She takes it and looks at it. And you still don't really know what it says at this point. But this is when Jocelyn comes in.
And you said about Alexis, like, taking the blame and everything. But, like, I passed the note. You know,
it was me. Yeah. So Alexis has already seen the note. She knows what it says. Jocelyn walks over and she takes the blame. And then she says, well, let's see what this note says.
Yeah.
And she does read it out loud, yeah. And it's just about how pretty Alexis is.
Right, and how great her dress is and everything. Yeah.
And I just love the fact that then Jocelyn thinks that Alexis wrote this note about herself, yeah. I guess.
No, I thought she kind of looked and she was like...
No, I think she... No, she gets it. It's right. Just... It's funny,
yeah.
The look on her face when she does read
right.
It.
Right. No, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And I don't know, I guess I was just paying attention to like the way the women looked. Cause they said about how much I loved like Moira's necklace and sure. Her hair and everything in that other scene. I thought, and you know, we talk about this all the time that I always say about how much Jocelyn seems to change throughout this series.
Sure.
And I thought she looked great in this scene too.
Oh, okay.
She looked put together. Her hair looked amazing. Mm. Her outfit looked really good. Like, I thought she looked very much back to, like, season one Jocelyn. Okay. Like, put together teacher. I don't know. I specifically made note of that. Like, that just in this scene, I was like, okay, wow. She doesn't look like this,
right.
You know, mayor's wife that always sort of acts a little ditzy and everything. Like, she looked very put together at
and
work,
I could be
I guess.
Wrong. And we'll find out how wrong I might be, but after this season, do we see her in school ever again? We might not. So maybe we only see her during Kitty Sweater downtime, you know, for the last three for the last three seasons of this show.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But again, I like made note and I'm like, she was on point right now. Everything about her appearance in that scene, I was like,
they
she
took time
great.
To make her look like she's at
Yeah,
work
I thought she looked
not,
very
Yeah.
Yeah, different than just, I don't know, something about it.
Could you imagine
it
if she were on
me.
Town council? We'd never see her without a Kitty sweatshirt on. I figure that's how she'd show up.
Oh,
she'd
show up to
like
council
she's,
that
she's
way.
Only dressed like this because she's at work, I guess. I don't know.
But anyway, so then Alexis has a little conversation with the girls. She told them that she stole the dress from Ashley Simpson, or maybe Ashley Simpson
stole
it
from
her,
and
then
she
stole
had to
it back.
Steal it back.
But then they, you know, I guess they talk about maybe having lunch at some point.
This is probably before Ashley Simpson's SNL incident, right? Alexis probably wouldn't hang out with her after that.
That happened a long time ago.
You're saying they're too young to hang out at that point? It had to be post-SNL?
That was way earlier than this.
No, I know it was way earlier than this, but I'm saying the dress incident. Like,
it probably happened at the dress incident
of Ashley Simpson's fame.
I don't know.
Anyway, let's talk about these girls.
Yeah, tell us all about them.
These girls' names are Steph and Becky.
Hmm.
Not quite sure who's who. Okay. They didn't really have pictures on their IMDb pages.
Okay.
Steph is played by Leanne Ball, and this is her only IMDb credit.
Okay.
The other girl, Becky, is played by Sydney Kuhn, and she was in Dino Dan.
Okay.
The show about the kid that sees dinosaurs
everywhere.
Yeah,
that sounds vaguely familiar. Okay.
I think it's like a PBS show.
Okay.
She was in Suits, she was in Titans, and three episodes of Kim's Convenience.
Okay.
And she'll actually be back in the next episode, but she's uncredited, so I feel like she's just...
In the background at school.
I guess at school. I guess Steph, for whatever reason, had a day or two where she could shoot. And that was it. They couldn't fit her into the next episode.
Right, yeah.
So now we find out that Christmas World had to pull out.
They did. Yes.
So David
can this
have
was
the store.
A David and Stevie were talking, right?
Yes.
Yes. And I think David's kind of talking to her initially just about everything that had happened, like that his parents, I'm assuming he kind of fessed up to her, like my parents did all this and, you know, cause that's when Stevie said like, you know, I'm sure they had good intentions and did you know, they pay me a stipend for hanging out with you and everything. So of course, like Stevie in her sarcastic way just plays right into that whole thing.
Yes.
But yes, then Moira, I guess, arrives and informs them just like you said. Christmas World has pulled out, so the lease is his.
Yeah, and Stevie sort of has to try and
present his business.
Yeah, she kind of has to speak for him and say that he is going to do this. He's interested, and he does. He decides to submit the application.
Yeah, and I think she redeems herself a little bit here, or tries to make amends with him. You know, and she said, "You have the eye to create really something really truly beautiful." Yes. And she said, you know, like, she said something about, like, it's, you know, like, it's you to do this, and it, or it would be me, but it's you now. Right, right, you know, yes. So she still manages to turn it around to give, like, credit to herself. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but she does, it was still a nice little sentiment to say, to try to kind of make amends with him.
Definitely. And so now let's end the episode in the motel room with everybody just devouring these
buns for the continental breakfast.
It is really funny how they're like, hey, there's cinnamon buns in the lobby. Office? Did it say lobby?
Yeah, what do I don't remember. I don't know. Huh. We always say, the sign says office, so I usually try to go with office.
Right, right.
So I'm guessing that's what they said. But yeah, they're all eating, and Johnny's kind of getting upset because they're for continental breakfast for the guests. He says something about, like, when they have the conversation about what is a continental breakfast. It's for business travelers who are traveling the continent. that's what I noted.
That sure, he, yeah.
Yeah, that was his thinking. And then they said, you know, there's only one left because Stevie was also eating one when she was at the office. So yeah, literally there's, like, hardly any left.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I guess it would be wrong to serve any day-olds to their right. customers. So that, I guess, then made it okay. And he said, do you know this added a star to our rating? And then Alexa said, oh, how many stars do you have now? And he just kind of made a comment. He said, yeah, that's not the point.
Right. Yes. It's really nice. It's a fun way to
end. Yeah, it was a cute ending.
This episode. And again, who are these for? But I'm going to assume from now on... because of the fact that Stevie owns it and because of the fact that, you know, Johnny's helping out, they must have some people staying there.
Yeah.
Very, I mean, you know, the first two seasons, I just always assumed they were the only ones there. Unless we see trashy cousins of Stevie's right. or
yeah.
prostitution or something like that. I just always assumed they were the only ones here.
Right.
But I think it's safe now. And we get a little more into, you mm-hmm. know, episodes where people actually right. show up. It's yes. not as though it's ever this... you know, bustling hubbub of people entering and exiting rooms and all of that. But yeah. I'm going to assume that they have clientele now.
Yeah, I think so. I would have to agree yeah. with that.
So that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Wow, this is so great.
At the end of every episode, we rank our episodes of Schitt's Creek, these episodes, from favorite to least favorite, let's say. So, Carly, if this episode were a box of cinnamon buns, would you eat the last one, or would you just
leave it to be a day old?
Yeah, day old for some sort of customer.
I would totally have the last one. I like this one, and I feel like my love for it kind of grew more as we talked about it. No, I definitely think this is a really fun one, and I think I would probably put it up pretty high. I think it's going to go to my new. Let me decide. Oh my sure. gosh. It's so
There's
hard.
So many. It's going to get tougher and tougher.
I know. Yeah. This is obviously always super stressful.
And I have to create
I think
sort of
I'm
going to
put it up at my new number 9.
Okay. So actually making your top 10.
Yeah. I like this one a lot. And especially the more we talked about it, the more fun
yes.
it was.
Yeah, and I am going to completely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to put it at my number 10. I had Murder Mystery a lot higher than you
yes.
last time, and this is right after it. I think this is a really nice episode.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, thank you, everybody. Cute. Thank you again for listening, continuing to listen to us. If you're enjoying what we do here, please make sure you leave us a star rating and review wherever you get the show. Make sure to tell other people about us as well.
Yeah, it's always fun to read the comments. We had a relatively new listener, and her name escapes me right now. I feel bad.
Oh, oh my gosh, yeah.
She has been amazing recently. I feel terrible.
I feel terrible too.
Yeah.
She blew through like all of our episodes within the past month.
Yeah.
And then was bummed out that she now has to wait 2 weeks like everybody else. And she... so many comments on everything, and we really do try, and if you do post on our Facebook page, we really do try and get in and, you know, at the very least, you know, like what you wrote, but we would like to
once summer rolls around.
Yeah, we try like and get in and try and comment.
It's Jennifer,
thank you.
Yes.
And yeah, we do try and interact with you guys, and we certainly appreciate anyone that, that
it's,
comes aboard.
Yeah, it's fun to hear what people think
or other,
you know, when they like say, oh my gosh, I love this part of the episode too, or when you talked about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is really nice to see those comments.
Yeah, and this
and
is
be able to interact.
Right. And this is not to drag any other Schitt's Creek podcast or anything like that, but the show's been off the air long enough where I think it's probably safe to say that we're the only game in town right now. So we're the only ones still doing this. Everyone has either given up or they actually already did it like in real time
done
with the show.
Yeah.
So please, like we appreciate any sort of interaction that you guys can have with us here. But we will see you all again in 2 weeks' time when we'll be discussing the 8th episode of season 3, Motel Review. Speaking of reviews and cinnamon buns
and
star ratings and people actually staying there. We'll get a little more into that next episode. So again, thank you all, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Warmest regards.